The Purgatory of St. Patrick by Pedro Calderon de la Barca, translated by Dennis Florence McCarthy. Act the Third. A Street. It is night. Scene 1. Juan Paul, dressed ridiculously as a soldier, and Luis Ennius, very pensive. Paul.
Yes, the day would come, I knew, after long procrastination, when a word of explanation I should ask to have with you. Come with me, you said, though dark, off I trudged with heavy heart to point out to you the part where at morn you could embark. Then again, with thundering voice, thus you spoke, where I must fly, choose to come with me, or die. And since you allowed a choice, of two ills I chose the worst, which, sir, was to go with you. As your shadow then I flew, crossed the sea to England first, then to Scotland, then to France, then to Italy and Spain, round the world and back again, as in some fantastic dance. Not a country great or small could escape you till, good lack, here we are in Ireland back. Now, sir, I, plain Juan Paul, being perplexed to know what draws you here now, with beard and hair grown so long, your speech, your air changed so much, would ask the cause why you these disguises wear. You by day ne'er leave the inn, but when cold night doth begin, you a thousand follies dare, without bearing this in mind, that we now are in a land wholly changed from strand to strand, where in fact we nothing find as we left it. The old king died despairing, and his heir, Lesbia, now the crown doth wear for her sister, hapless thing. Poor Polonia. Luis.
Oh, that name do not mention. Do not kill me by repeating what doth thrill me to the center of my frame as with lightning.
Yes, I know that at length Polonia died.
Paul. Yes, our host was at her side. He himself has told me so, when they found her dead and—
Luis.
Cease!
Of her death, oh, speak no more. 'Tis sufficient to deplore, and to pray that she's at peace.
Paul. Leaving heathen sin and crime, all the people far and near are become good Christians here, for one Patrick, who some time now is dead.
Luis. Is Patrick dead?
Paul. So I from our host have heard.
Luis, aside. Badly have I kept my word.
But proceed.
Paul.
The teaching spread of the faith of Christ and gave, as a proof complete and whole of the eternity of the soul, the discovery of a cave. Oh, it's the very name doth send terror through me.
Luis.
Yes, I have heard of that cave, and every word made my hair to stand on end. Those who in the neighborhood dwell see wonders every day.
Paul.
Since, mid terror and dismay, in your melancholy mood you will no one hear or see, ever locked within your room, it is plain you have not come aught to learn, how strange they be, of these things. It doth appear other work you are about. Satisfy my foolish doubt, and say why we have come here.
Luis.
To your questions thus I yield. Yes, I forced you, as you mention, from your house, and my intention was to kill you in the field. But I thought it best instead you might to make my steps attend, as my comrade and my friend, shaking off the mortal dread which forbade me to endure any stranger. And in fine, that your arms, being joined with mine, I might feel the more secure. Many a land, both far and near, passing through you, fared right well. And now answering, I will tell why it is that we come here. And 'tis this. I come to slay here a man who did me wrong. 'Tis for this I pass along, muffled in this curious way, hiding country, dress, and name. And the night suits best for me, for my powerful enemy can the first position claim in the land,
since I avow why I hither have been led. Listen now how I have sped in my project until now. I 3 days ago was brought to this city in disguise. For 2 nights beneath the skies I my enemy have sought in his street and at his door. Twice a muffled figure came and disturbed me in my aim. Twice he called and stalked before him I followed in the street. But when I the figure neared, suddenly he disappeared as if wings were on his feet. I, this third night, have brought you, that should this mysterious shape come again, he shan't escape, being caught between us two. Who he is, then, we can see. Paul.
Two? Who are they?
Luis.
You and I.
Paul.
I'm not one.
Luis.
Not one? How? Why?
Paul.
No, sir, no. I cannot be one nor half a one. These stories, faith, would frighten 50 Hectors. What know I of Lady Spectres or of Lord Don Purgatories? All through life I'd kept aloof from the other world's affairs, shunning much superfluous cares. But my courage put to proof, bid me face 1,000 men, and if I don't cut and run from 1,000, nay, from 1, never trust to me again. For I think it quite a case fit for bedlam, if so high, that a man would rather die than just take a little race. Huh, such a trifle! Sir, to me, life is precious. Leave me here, where you'd find me, never fear.
Louise.
Here's the house. Tonight I'll be, Philip, your predestined fate. Now we'll see if heaven pretends to defend him, and defends. Watch here, you, beside the gate.
Scene 2. A muffled figure, Luis and Paul.
Paul. There's no need to watch, for hither someone comes.
Luis.
A lucky mortal am I, if the hour draws nigh that will 2 revenges offer. Since this night there then will be, not to interrupt my project, slaying first this muffled figure and then Philip. Slow and solemn comes this man again. I know him by his gait. But whence this horror that comes o'er me as I see him, this strange awe that chills, that shocks me?
The figure.
Luis Ennius.
Luis.
Sir, I've seen you here the last 2 nights. Your object?
If you call me, wherefore fly thus? If 'tis me you seek, why mock me by retiring? The figure.
Follow me. Then you'll know my name.
Luis.
I'm stopped here in this street by a little business. To be quite alone imports me. Wherefore, first by killing you, I'll be free to kill another.
He draws his sword, but merely cuts the air.
Draw, then. Draw your sword or not, that the needful path I shorten to 2 acts of vengeance. Heavens! I but strike the air, cut nothing, sever nothing else. Quick, Paul, stop him as he stalks off yonder, near to you.
Paul,
I'm bad at stopping.
Luis,
then your footsteps I will follow everywhere until I learn who you are.
Aside,
in vain his body do I strive to pierce. Oh, heavens! Lightnings flash from off my sword here, but in no way can I touch him, as if sword and arm were shortened.
Exit, following the figure, striking at it without touching it. Scene 3. Philip, Paul. Paul, aside.
God be with you both. But scarce has one vanished when another comes to haunt me. Why, I'm tempted by strange phantoms and hobgoblins, like another San Antonio. In this doorway I'll ensconce me, till my friend here kindly passes.
Philip.
Love, ambitious, bold, deep-plotted,
with the favors of a kingdom. Me thou mak'st a prosperous lover. To the desert fled Polonia, where mid savage rocks and forests, citizen of mighty mountains, islander of lonely grottos, she doth dwell, to Lesbia leaving crown and kingdom. Through a stronger greed than love, I Lesbia court, for a queen is worth my homage. From her trellis I have come, from a sweet and pleasant converse. But what's this? Each night I stumble on a man here at my doorstep. Who is there? Paul, aside. To me he's coming. Why on earth should every goblin pounce on me?
Philip. Sir, caballero.
Paul. These are names I don't acknowledge. He can't speak to me.
Philip.
This house is my home.
Paul.
Which I don't covet. May you for an age enjoy it without billets.
Philip.
If important business in this street detains you, not a word whereon I offer. Give me room that I may pass.
Paul. Aside.
Somewhat timid, though quite proper, goblins can be cowards too.
Yes, sir, for a certain office I am here. Go in and welcome. I no gentleman would stop here bound for bed, nor is it right.
Philip.
The condition I acknowledge.
Aside.
Well, fine spectres, to be sure, haunt this street. Each night I notice that a man here comes before me, but when I approach him softly hereabouts on my own threshold, I, as now, have always lost him. But what matters this to me?
Exit. Paul draws his sword and makes several flourishes.
Paul. As he's gone, the right and proper thing is this. Stay, stay, cold shadow, whether you're a ghost or ghostess, I can't reach it. Why, by heaven, air alone I cut and chop here. But if this is he we wait for in the night time like two blockheads, faith, he is a lucky fellow to have got to bed so promptly. But another noise I hear sounding from that dark street yonder. 'Tis a swords and angry voices. There I run to reconnoiter.
Exit. Scene 4. Another street. The muffled figure and Luis.
Luis. Sir, already we have issued from that street. If aught there stopped us, we are here alone, and may hand to hand resume the combat. And since powerless is my sword thee to wound, I throw me on thee to know who thou art. Declare, art thou demon, man, or monster? What? No answer? Then I thus dare myself to solve the problem.
He tears the cloak from the figure and finds beneath it a skeleton.
And find out? Oh, save me, heaven! God, what's this I see? What horrid spectacle, what frightful vision, what death-threatening, fearful portent! Stiff and stony corpse, who art thou, that of dust and ashes formed now dost live?
The figure.
Not know thyself? This is thy most faithful portrait. I, alas, am Luis Ennius.
Disappears.
Luis. Save me, heaven! What words of horror! Save me, heaven! What sight of woe! Prey of shadows and misfortunes! Ah, I die!
He falls on the ground. Scene 5. Paul, Luis.
Paul. It is the voice of my master. Succor cometh opportunely now in me. Sir!
Luis.
Ah, why return, dread monster? I am overwhelmed. I faint here at your voice.
Paul, aside.
God help his noddle. He's gone mad.
Aloud.
Dread monster? No, I'm Juan Paul, that donkey, who, not knowing why or wherefore, is your servant.
Luis.
Ah, good, honest Paul, I knew you not, so frightened am I. But at that, why wonder, if myself I do not know? Did you see a fearful corpse here? A dead body with a soul? An apparent man supported by his skeleton alone? Bones from which the flesh had rotted? Fingers rigid, gaunt, and cold? Naked trunk, uncouth, abhorrent, vacant spaces whence the eyes, having fallen, left bare the sockets? Whither has he gone?
Paul. If I saw that ghost, upon my honor, I could never say I saw it. For more dead than that dead body, I had fallen on the other side at the moment.
Luis. And no wonder, for my voice was mute, my breath choked, my heart's warm beat forgotten. Clothed with ice were all my senses, shod with lead my feet, my forehead cold with sweat. I saw suspended heaven's two mighty poles upon me, the brief atlases sustaining such a burden being my shoulders. It appeared as if there started rocks from every tender blossom, giants from each opening rose. For the earth's disrupted hollows wished from out their graves to cast forth the dead who lay there rotten. Ah, among them I beheld Luis Ennius. Heaven be softened! Hide me from myself! Bury me in some deep corner of earth's center! Let me never see myself, since no self-knowledge have I had. But now I have it. Now I know I am that monster of rebellion who defied, in my madness, pride, and folly, God himself, the same whose crimes are so numerous and so horrid that it were slight punishment if the whole wrath of the Godhead was outpoured on me, and whilst God was God, eternal torments I should have to bear in hell. But I have this further knowledge. They were done against a God so divine that he has promised to grant pardon if my sins I with penitent tears acknowledge. Such I shed, and Lord, to prove that today to be another I begin, being born anew, to thy hands my soul I offer. Not as a strict judge, then, judge me. For the attributes of the Godhead are his justice and his mercy. With the latter, not the former, judge me, then, and fix what penance I shall do to gain that object. What will be the satisfaction of my life?
Music within. The Purgatory.
Luis. Bless me, heaven! What's this I hear? A sweet strain, divine and solemn. It appears a revelation from on high, since heaven doth often help mysteriously the sinner. And since I herein acknowledge a divine interposition, I will go into the purgatory, called of Patrick, and fulfill, humbly, faithfully, the promise which I gave him long ago, if it is my happy fortune to see Patrick. If the attempt is, as rumor hath informed me, most terrific, since no human strength avails against the horrors of the place, or resolution to endure the demon's torments, still my sins, I must remember, were as dreadful. Skillful doctors give for dangerous diseases dangerous remedies to stop them. Come then with me, Paul, and see how here, penitent and prostrate, at the bishop's feet I'll kneel, and confess, for greater wonder, all my awful sins aloud.
Paul.
Go alone, then, for that project, since so brave a man as you are has no need of an accomplice. And there's no one I have heard of who e'er went to hell escorted by his servant. I'll go home, and live pleasantly in my cottage without care. If ghosts there be, I'm content with matrimony.
Exit. Luis.
Public were my sins, and so public penance I will offer in atonement. Like one crazed, crying in the crowded crossways, I'll confess aloud my crimes. Men, wild beasts, rude mountains, forests, globes celestial, flinty rocks, tender plants, dry elms, thick coppice, know that I am Luis Ennius.
tremble at my name, that monster once of pride, as now I am of humility, the wonder. I have faith and certain hope of great happiness before me, if in God's great name shall Patrick aid me in the purgatory. Exit. End of Act 3, Part 1.